Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, today we'll get into a little Jimmy Carter comparison with the current president. Calls. We'll talk about cheating and adultery and what an insurrection was really like in Egypt.
First, there's Geico. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Get it on. Dr. Drew's board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Just looking down on my note sheet here, Drew. And we were talking the last show about sort of memory and group memory and shit like that. If somebody tells you repeatedly, hey, you got to write shit down, write the fucking shit down, they're telling. I never got that. I work with all different kinds of people. Kevin Hench has a steel trap for a fucking mind.
Yeah.
And I never would say to him, write it down. There are many other people in my life where I go, write it down. They go, I don't need it. And it's like, if I'm telling you.
There's a reason.
It means you've slipped up on a lot of shit.
You've earned that.
Write it the fuck down.
Yes.
I don't know. Well, and it's, what's some sort of slight or something? I have scraps of paper. I write stuff down all day, every day. Why?
Yeah. Hey, write it down. As people age, because I deal with a lot of elderly patients, I write it down for them.
Right.
And I sometimes do it more than once on more than a couple pieces of paper because they lose the paper. It's really kind of frustrating, but it's not at all uncommon for me. I'm always saying, do you want me to write that down? How about I write it down for you? I'll put it on two pieces of paper.
If people say to you, write this down, or little phrases like, the movie starts at 7, but 7 means 7. Doesn't mean 7:20. It's important. Except if they start talking that way to you.
Pay attention. You earned it.
Yes, because Drew is an insanely prompt person, and I know many people that are insanely prompt, and I never have conversations with them about 7 means 7. The other people where people are following you around the fucking house going, okay, here we go. They're doing it not to be annoying. I know you're annoyed. Go find a mirror and be annoyed at the reflection. I don't want to tell people 7 means 7 or write it down or I don't want to tell people anything.
No.
I'm only doing it because you have a history of this.
Yeah.
And I've built this based on that.
You've earned it. Well, people reap what they sow. They don't seem to understand that. You know what I mean? I have found myself sort of ruminating on that phrase many times and wondering how to bring into awareness the people that need to understand that. Because you tell them that, they get very insulted, I've found. When you say, you bring what you sow, you know, you create it. How dare you?
It's fucking bizarre. So, and led us to that, Gary. You can, I was watching a TV special. I think it was on CNN a couple of weeks, maybe a week ago. It was called, I think it was called Jimmy Carter, like Rock and Roll President or something. It's a retrospective on Jimmy Carter.
Are we looking positively at Carter now after all these years?
CNN is.
Oh, my goodness.
And
He did an interview with Playboy.
He was being courted. You know, had some Allman Brothers and some rock bands and stuff. They're out pushing him. Mm. Now, that's not what I found interesting. Mm. I mean, No one on the planet thinks Jimmy Carter's a bad guy.
Mm-mm.
It just means, but he had bad policies.
Mm-hmm.
And
not a great leader for what that moment required.
I've said it a million times. I've said to people all the time, it's part and parcel. It's not Jimmy Carter. I've said to people about other people a lot, which is they're not bad people. They're weak people, and weak people do bad things.
Mm. Well, and Carter's one of the best after presidents we've ever had.
Yeah.
Post-presidents.
But he was not a great president.
No.
So as I was watching it, and I was watching some of his speeches, Gary, and this is something where you can find, he would say things like, you know, the nation is divided and it's time we bring dignity back to the Oval Office. It's time we heal and it's time we bring a steady hand and dignity and healing like that. And I thought, oh, shit, that's 50 years old.
I know. It's same stuff. It's so crazy.
Because he came off of Nixon.
Yeah, that's right.
And Biden came off of Trump.
Right.
But the speeches were exactly the same.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
It is interesting. And people do talk about 50-year cycles on things.
Yeah, well, it was 48 years or 47 years or whatever.
He was 70.
Well, yeah.
76, yeah.
Yeah. But he was out talking in 74, earlier than 76.
It's 50 years. What are you going to say? It's here we are, 48, 50 years.
It was very to the Matt and the Garys who weren't around. Go back and look at some of the Jimmy Carter speeches. It sounds exactly like Biden saying, we need to bring civility. We need to bring, you know.
And I have heard a lot of Carter-esque comparisons coming on these days with Biden, too.
Interesting.
And if you've noticed that, Carter's name has been up more actively lately, I've thought, too. It's interesting the CNN does a retrospective, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got to make him look good, so maybe Biden will look good.
Well, I don't know if the thing is an older doc or not, but it is interesting that if everyone is saying to CNN, hey, Biden, he's the worst president since Carter, then you can go back and make Carter a good president, and now we're healed.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting thought.
I'd
be curious when it came out, but I feel there's a part of me felt like I heard about it before this, and maybe they're rerunning it or something. Anyway, Steve's got questions about withdrawal, surgery.
It definitely aired in 2020. It looks like towards the end of 2020, maybe, so 2 weeks ago.
Pretty 2021?
21, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's flubbing that shit up.
Yeah. So new.
So it aired for the first time.
No. I was right the first time. 2020, December 29th, 2020 is an article with the same title. So I would assume it came out very much around the same time.
Mm. Well, you can research it a little more. I felt like I'd seen it before. It'd been around. But it's interesting they're replaying it. But anyway, you can keep looking, Gary, so you can find any of those Carter healing clips. Steve, 63, Pittsburgh.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Guy.
Hey, have to thank Drew and you too, Adam. You guys inspired me many years ago. I just celebrated 10 years of sobriety last month.
Wow, congratulations. Big deal.
Yeah, I remember I started listening to you guys way long before then, and I kept kind of wondering as I was driving around with a six-pack in my car, drinking and listening to Drew, you know, talk about, oh, this must be related to addiction, that you were like a guy with a hammer and everything was a nail.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what's this, all this addiction stuff? Turned out you were kind of right.
Yeah, so, how about that?
Anyway, how about that? So, hey, so listen, about back in mid-October, after about 30 years of having some back issues, I finally had surgery. I had a five-level laminectomy and a microdiscectomy. And knowing my background, I was very careful with the painkillers in the hospital. So what they had me on was like every 2 hours I was getting IV Dilaudid. And then two hours later I'd get oral oxycodone, 10 milligrams.
What do you mean you were being careful? My God. You were being completely inundated with opiates. You were getting careful to get as many as possible.
Exactly. So I was getting that for 4 days. Came home, I took, so obviously I was off the IV Dilaudid. So when I went home, I tapered down to 5 milligrams of oxycodone every 4 hours. And something weird happened on that fifth day. I'm home, and I started feeling a little giddy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this is trouble. And so I completely stopped the next day. And I must have gone a day and a half, and I was irritable. I had mood swings, sure, and I was jumpy. But again, it only lasted about 30 hours.
Good.
So is it possible to actually have withdrawal symptoms after only being on an opiate for like 5 days? Or am I just imagining?
How many days were you in the hospital?
I was in the hospital for 4 days.
And then how many days did you take them at home?
1 day.
Yeah. I mean, you got a lot when you're in the hospital, a lot.
Okay.
And just stepping down. I mean, and you had a very brief withdrawal. I'm sure that's what it was. But thank goodness. I'd look for a little sleep disruption for a while after that, and that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm back to 100%. So,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
It was great. But
craziness.
But anyway. Well,
good.
Craziness.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations, Steve.
Yeah. Well done, man.
Yeah,
well
thanks.
Done. Well, thanks. You guys do great work there. I appreciate all you do.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks. Yes, Drew.
It's two, line three. I wonder, line I'm three. Curious about what she's thinking.
Line three. Do they have any insight into adultery? Why do people do it?
Alexandra?
32?
Hey.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
Hi, guy. Hi, girl. Hi, gal.
This is bringing me back. I think I listened to you guys on Loveline back in like 2003. I was pretty young and I got sent to my room without my electronics, but I had a radio.
There you go.
I didn't have my computer, but I listened to you guys for a few hours. So it's nice to see you're still doing your thing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've grown up a bit. And I'm in a long-term relationship and I'm just curious, like what starts adultery? I had a longtime friend kind of proposition me, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, I'm not against being with more than one person, but I think it should be more in a polyamory kind of thing. Everybody should have consensus, and, you know, France seems to have figured that out somewhat more than we have here. So,
did you say you're,
I'm just curious,
are you married?
I'm married, yes. I've been lurking the subreddit on adultery, and it seems like it's way more common than people talk about or realize.
And there's like many versions of it. It never makes a relationship better, ever. You know, there are armies of therapists out there, I like to say, trying to help two people have a relationship. It's so difficult. And you add more people, it does not get better or easier. It gets worse and more complicated. Okay. Oftentimes, you know, it's an unstable or a fluid emotional environment where you're not really sure, you know, what the consequences are going to be emotionally. It's very hard to predict where things are going with people when they get intimate. So the reasons, let's see if I can list, the general trends are men do it because they want to have more diversity in sexual partners. So they do it if they can. Mm. They're young and they didn't do enough of that when they were younger particularly, which I find inexcusable. But okay. Women typically do it because they're not getting their emotional needs met, the whatever that is for that given individual, though women too can do it for the same reason that men do, just because they want to. It's very common for alcoholics and addicts to include sexual acting out in their behaviors. So alcoholism.
I think that's resonating with this particular person more than anything else.
And then,
'cause it does seem like.
And then
why would you risk everything?
Right. And then people are looking – well, people – then and then some people are just, you know, I'm going to use a strong term, but sort of sociopathic. They don't care. They want to do something. Oh. They want it. They like it. They do it. And men and women can go down that path. And so that's sort of a character problem that gets people into trouble. Narcissism sometimes goes that way as well. And they can be manic, you know. They could be in an altered state, and they could be, or they could be depressed and trying to fix the depression with arousal from sexuality. So there's lots of reasons that people do this stuff. None of it's what you call healthy. So that's generally why it's sort of thought of as something that you might not, you want to, might want to, you know, pay attention to the underlying influences and not be so,
put some flags up,
so,
and down
so quick to do
say,
it. I mean, the fact that we're in this time right now, people go, oh, polyamory. It's like, yeah, whatever, do whatever the hell you want to do. But trust me, in terms of health versus not health, take a good look at things. Take a good look at stuff.
Yeah. What I'm finding as I'm listening. I'm really trying to figure out, is this really what it looks like? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it feels like a lot of people are using it to just smooth over a pothole.
Well, and
in their
people
own life,
get, and that's exactly right. And people, you know, and people get older and they don't feel attractive and they're sort of gratified and they, oh, this is great. Somebody's into me. And there's so many reasons, but they're all, they're the opposite atom of character, right? We talk about having good character these days.
Yeah.
This is,
well, I don't know. Let me dispute that
okay,
a little bit.
Go ahead.
At first, now,
I love it. Devil's advocate.
Well, just as it pertains to character.
All right. Go ahead.
This does sound like a big character thing.
Yeah.
But for my wiring, my character is, and I know what you're going to say, like, my character is how do my actions affect someone else?
Yeah.
So it's about picking up your dog poop.
Yeah.
Not littering.
Yeah, it's giving a shit.
Being on time is a big character thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Took me 32 years. I still haven't perfected that one.
Well, it inconveniences at the least those around you, but beside causing a low grade anxiety when you're dealing with people that are constantly late. It's an anxiety. It's an anxiety. Mm. You know, the reservations for 8 o'clock. Come on, honey. Mm. Come on. It's a low grade anxiety. You're not just watching Sports Center and enjoying yourself. You're kind of up.
Yeah.
It's on your radar.
Yeah.
It's there.
It's like crowling something.
Yeah. Anyone who's ever done anything with the late person realizes the low grade anxiety of having to sort of corral them. Mm. And now the other now, if I can be sure that this other person is not going to find out about this and that I'm not going to impact them and that's not going to impact us, that's where the rub is, then I can do it and maintain my character because I'm not impacting the kids or the wife or not impacting the person.
But
for instance,
but I'm saying that it does, you know, it diminishes.
I'm kind of like maybe short term.
It depends. All right. You can go to Laughlin for Bachelor's Weekend and hook up, and it's not going to necessarily impact the kids or the wife or the whatever. Now, you start having a relationship, start buying jewelry for the person or whatever. It's to me, it doesn't necessarily say low character.
Okay, but it does diminish trust. And it depletes intimacy. That's the way we think about it. You know, intimacy needs to be nourished, and this is going the other direction.
Well, I don't know how does it diminish trust if the person doesn't know about it?
Because you know about it. You're not being trustworthy in the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and people don't usually stop, but you know, once they start.
Well, I know,
around.
But what you're doing is you're kind of reading the slippery slope of it into it.
I'm saying you
don't stop with one and so and others.
I'm not saying necessarily more tryst. I'm saying you're not respecting, you know, the trust in the relationship, and you know, it diminishes it. It's just you're diminishing it. That's all.
Yeah, but it's
you may not do anything again. I'm not saying
respect. I don't know if you're not respecting the trust. Maybe you're not respecting yourself. I'm just saying there have been many men of character who have stepped out over the years. I don't think it's necessarily a low character thing. Is what I'm,
I see what
I'm
you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
We're sort of talking about different things, but I get what
like
you're saying.
A high character individual can also live in the same realm as a person that's having affairs.
Well,
traditionally, you could look at it as a marker for low character.
That's
like
right.
Many things,
and also, you know, your integrity is your character. And if if you don't want somebody to do that to you, you don't want to do that to somebody else. That's integrity.
I agree.
And that's a weed made by Randy's father, or by Randy. In South Park, they have Integrity Weed. If you have, or it's really Tegrity Weed. Gary, back me up on this. Is anybody watching South Park right now?
He's always quoting South Park.
It's so good right
he's
now.
You've never heard me go, oh, yeah, I watched that last night. You've only heard me go.
I thought you had some agreement with
now,
that.
None? I love what they're doing on South Park. I just don't watch it.
So good.
You, over the last 15 years, have referenced things to South Park as if I've seen them. And every time I tell you I haven't seen it.
But
you won't get the pattern of this.
Yeah, it's hard to give up.
It's a pattern.
I want you to have seen it so badly.
That's a very realistic way to approach life. All right, let me talk about Sugar Break. Sugar Break makes it easy to stick to your New Year's resolution without having to give up your favorite foods. Using powerful and scientifically tested plant ingredients, stabilize pre-meal capsules, block carb and sugar absorption up to 40%. Resist strips will power you. It's willpower in your pocket, I should say. Indulge in a sweet treat, then pop a Resist strip when you want to stop. Resist instantly blocks sweet tastes and curbs the cravings. Two, reduce capsules in the morning, help maintain healthy blood sugar and insulin production all day long, and boost metabolism. Visit sugarbreak.com/ADS. Use the code ADS for 15% off your entire order. That's sugarbreak.com/ADS and get that 15% off. All right, take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Every 60 seconds, not one, but two children are trafficked. And every 30 seconds, one is forced into exploitation for the purpose of heinous acts.
Human trafficking is happening in your own backyard. It is happening to your neighbors.
Many whom we see every day in our own communities, hidden in plain sight.
You know, there's kids out there that are being bought and sold 20 times a day.
We must bring the child back to the center of our care and concern. Today, we launch Goya Cares.
Goya Cares is committed to supporting victims and overcomers of trafficking and abuse to recover, restore, reconnect, and to shine the light that will block traffic.
This is where we become the light.
God saved me. I believe that I was called to this. Perhaps He's calling you to
block traffic.
Join Goya Cares and visit blocktraffic.org.
All right, Drew. Mm-hmm. Oh, Gary, did you find any Carter speeches? That could have been in or out of that doc, but anything?
I wasn't going to be able to find that doc, so I'm watching speeches. I've got a clip here. I don't think it's exactly what you wanted, but it does kind of – it is eerily like today if you want to watch
it. It would definitely be a speech that was, you know, not from his third year in office. It would be from before he was elected or shortly after he was elected, but we'll take a listen.
In a nation that was proud of hard work, strong families, close-knit communities, and our faith in God, too many of us now tend to worship self-indulgence and consumption. Human identity is no longer defined by what one does, but by what one owns. But we've discovered that owning things and consuming things does not satisfy our longing for meaning. We've learned that piling up material goods cannot fill the emptiness of lives which have no confidence or purpose. The symptoms of this crisis of the American spirit are all around us. For the first time in the history of our country, a majority of our people believe that the next 5 years will be worse than the past 5 years.
I agree with him.
Yeah. That all fell on deaf ears back then. Yeah. But now think about it now. It's like too many of our people, so I'm going to give you what you need.
Right.
I'm going to give it to you.
Right.
You like that? Fine. We'll give it to you now.
Yeah, it used to be, you don't need that.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, you want it? All right, we'll get it for you. Yeah, Gary, this would have been on the campaign trail, I think. And not definitely not from the Oval Office, per se.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. We got...
line one.
Line one. Casket Steve. Casket Steve.
Hi, guys.
Hi, hey, Guy.
Hey, I caught this conversation on your ACS podcast yesterday. It was about the water cremation conversation you had at the very end of the show.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I didn't realize I was calling into the wrong show. Sorry about that.
It's all right. But, we're interested. Go ahead.
Well, it's basically like a, I mean, dumb it down, right? It's a pressure cooker. It's this great big vessel. They pump a bit of pressure in there, a lot of heat, and then they put in essentially just a little bit of acid, and they reduce everything down to a liquid. And then, believe it or not, they just pour the liquid down the drain. It goes into the regular sewer system. And that's what everybody freaks out about, to be honest, is that what happens with it afterwards, right? And that's why it's not legal everywhere, because people, they have to get that approved by boards and, you know, state boards and that type of thing. So that's why it's only, you know, available in, I don't know, about a quarter of the states right now.
So that's Desmond Tutu went that way. I think that's what the story was.
Interesting. And it was just organic waste,
right?
Nothing. It's so, you know,
yeah,
carbon.
Yeah, you say acid, but I don't know, vinegar's acid.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
some inert,
right.
Whatever.
Sodium hydroxide. It's like, oh, I don't know.
How long does it take?
Not long. I mean, I guess it's about the heat. It's like one of my customers has it. I think it takes about 3 to 4 hours is what I remember.
And so you literally, is the person wearing a suit or at least trunks,
no.
At least board shorts?
No.
Drew, wouldn't you want board shorts?
Just a loincloth would be fine.
Matt.
They could make it out of a cowhide. That would go too.
Don't you think the witnesses would want you in sweatpants and a hoodie? Don't you feel like the observers, the morning, more for them? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
For them.
For them.
Yeah.
You're gone.
Well, there's
what about them?
It's not like an iron lung with a little window in it. It's just
no viewing port?
It's just,
Jesus.
Unfortunately, yeah. Or fortunately.
So is the, what does the contraption look like?
It kind of looks like an iron lung, if you would. I was looking at a picture of it here a little bit ago. And it's just this big, long tube. I don't know, probably a foot and a half, you know, in diameter. And it's, they just slide you in there and they close the end and, you know, crank it down and then turn up the heat and drop the chemicals in. And
then this open, open the, and they just open
the drain.
Yeah. And then
yeah.
Is it just literally a bare skeleton that comes out?
Actually, it'll reduce most of the bones as well.
So, yeah, all goes.
But there will be some bone fragments left over.
So calcium carbonate, just dissolve it.
Yeah.
So not much. Whatever's left calcium. Could fit in a coffee mug or a coffee can or something with coffee.
Well, you know what? You know what?
Coffee themed.
Here's a business you probably didn't
filter.
Know that existed.
Can you filter it through coffee
filter? They are required to recycle all the metal hips and things like that.
All right. All the bone, all
so
the.
So they, if there's, yeah.
Yeah, all
if
the
that's
hip
in there,
replacement.
They get a magnet, they catch it all, and they have to kind of recycle it all. And they do dispose of
the
bones, just like in a cremation, right? That all goes into a great big blender and just makes it into a powder.
And would you give that powder to the,
dearly
deceased,
beloved?
The beloved?
In this case, it's so minimal, they just dispose of them, right? Because they're not. This is all supposed to be essentially you completely get rid of the body, but in some cases, some bone fragments, I guess, are some more dense and it just didn't completely go away.
Wow. So. How much does this cost?
About $3,000-$4,000.
Jesus.
So
now they have,
you know, it's more expensive than a regular, you know, gas flame cremation.
How much is the flame cremation?
You can easily find that for $9.95 or even less.
Why do people choose the water?
It's the perception that it is greener. Oh. You know, you're not using any gas. There's no fossil fuels. You know, you're not burning up, you know, that minimal amount of mercury that's in people's teeth that goes up into the atmosphere. I mean, please.
You're heating. Like, you're heating
you
the water.
Heat the water somehow with some coal.
Oh no, you're right.
Plant.
It's like electric cars, right? Are you really saving a ton of earth? Right.
Now, let's see. We have different size people here. Mm. You know, we got Chris Maxipata, smaller. We got Matt Fondelier, Porcelain Punisher here. Would you, you know, they charge more for vans at the car wash. You know what I mean? It would take more energy, more material, more to break down Matt, especially if I had him in that three-piece suit with the pocket watch. Mm-hmm. So he always knew what time it was. Airlines do it. They got to weigh the luggage. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, a bigger person or a man than a woman. You are going to take more energy, more time, more chemicals to break you down than your wife.
What say you?
That is correct. And they generally will not charge more than that unless you've got one of those forklift kind of situations, right? Mm-hmm. You're right. It takes longer to reduce the body, whether it's flame or in this case, you would have an issue with fitting them into the vessel, right? Mm-hmm. There's almost no issue getting them into a retort. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we also make oversized caskets, which are just special made for folks that are really big.
I've never heard the term retort before.
Retort?
Retort is the name. That's a crematory. It's just that's the name of the oven.
Of the oven. Interesting.
Yeah, it's called a retort.
Casket Steve, this has been enlightening.
Yeah,
I'm
interesting.
Keep talking about it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Steve.
All right. Let's
you
see.
You want to do that? You want to do that Egypt thing or no?
What thing?
Line three.
Line three.
It's a thing.
Lived in Egypt when he was now, huh? Insurrection
Eric?
Happened. Talk about.
Ace Man, Dr. Drew, how are you?
Hi, guy.
So I used to be in the Army, and in December 2010, I got stationed in the Sinai in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And as we all remember, in January of 2011, the Egyptian people decided to overthrow Hosni Mubarak, and they actually had a successful insurrection. And it's just, you know, timely considering what today is.
How was that different? How was that experience? How was it compared to this?
Well, vastly different. I mean, I was stationed in the northern Sinai, which was near the Israeli border. So I was quite a distance away from Cairo. But we still experienced, you know, a little bit unrest where we were located. But, you know, the revolution that happened over 10 years ago now, you know, lots of people, I think 800 people were killed, you know, another 2,000 were injured, another 12,000 were arrested, and it went on for over 2 weeks. It was the end of January through the beginning of February.
Well, our democracy's hanging by thread. I don't know if you guys are aware of that, according to Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. Are you aware of that, Drew?
We might have an actual real insurrection
in the coming years. Because it's hanging by a thread.
I know.
Thanks, Eric. We're plumb out of time.
Thanks, Eric.
I appreciate it.
Let me remind everybody about Evite. That's right. Life is better together. So you don't want to just call or text. Use Evite. It's such a great service. Thousands of free invitation options, all fully customizable. Birthdays, weddings, whatever you're celebrating, no matter how big or small. Choose a design created by a bunch of pros, and so they're really lovely, and you can make your own if you want. Evite's templates make it easy, fun, simple to create an invitation. It takes just a few minutes to create and send invitations. RSVP tracking is included. Evite makes it easy to link to a registry or gifts list as well. And best of all, it is free. And if you've ever received an Evite, you know that you can communicate. You know, if you can't go, you can communicate why. It's just such a great means of communication. They really are. They've perfected this. It's lovely now. Right, Matt?
Evite is helping make our celebrations feel extra special, and they can help you too. Head over to evite.com/ADS to choose from thousands of design options to create and send invitations for free. That's evite.com/ADS. evite.com/ADS.
All right. You can go to amcroll.com for all the live shows, and you can also check out you can go to chassis.com and see all our movies and docs. They're all up there, and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/AdamCarolla. Drew?
DrDrew.com for all the pods and DrDrew.tv for the streaming shows.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.